ask not.
The Beatles.
Circuses on the air.
And the president does it.
Sometimes you feel like
that means that it is not illegal.
Sometimes you
tear down this wall.
Here's Jennings.
Hey, Luke. May the force be with you.
It was you, Kristen, who shot J.R.
I did not have sexual relations with that woman.
Ah! We're not gay. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
China's been waiting a long time to take the reins.
My name is Dave Letterman. Last night, I became a father. Thank you very much.
Today, Apple is going to reinvent the phone.
George W. Bush, and I approve this message.
For the third time in 6 seasons, it's one goal achieved. The Chicago Blackhawks win the Stanley Cup. The Blackhawks win the Stanley Cup.
It's in time, and the Chicago Cubs win the World Series.
And now, this is history.
You're going to need outstanding hosts.
With Dave Plyer.
It's a guy, but I love you.
And Dave Schwann on 720 WGN.
And good morning, Mr. Schwann.
And as I spill my coffee, good morning.
Oh, no,
you
didn't. Oh, no.
Just a drop.
The Queen of Soul, and I know Dean will be talking about it on his show later this morning.
Yes, we will be talking about the Queen of Soul.
You know, there was an ABC 7 report that was done, and believe me, I watch Dean all the time, and he did some great overviews of Aretha's life, and he's interviewed her, of course, himself, which was great, so I'm hoping he'll play a little bit of that on his show this morning. Franklin, you know, frequently visited the city of Chicago with her father, who was a powerful pastor.
C.L. Franklin. Yes.
That's right. That's right. During the civil rights movement. And she was here in the early 60s and met Chicago disc jockey Purvis Spann.
I know where you're going with this.
Yeah.
I love this story.
You know, long before the world began to understand the iconic signature voice of Aretha Franklin, my dad, this is Melody Spann Cooper talking about this, knew she was going to be a force of nature. And it was in May of 1964. I believe at the Regal Theater.
At the Regal Theater.
Where they crowned her the Queen of Soul.
Yeah, I guess he was the MC. Purvis Spann was. Spann, the blues man.
Yeah.
And he got up and said, you know, there's no denying. He said, Aretha here, she's got to be the Queen of Soul, don't you think?
Yeah.
And it stuck.
And that was it, She, of course, kept her connection to Chicago for years. I mean, she obviously has been performing here for years, but she did Chicago Fest, right? You know, kind of pre-taste of Chicago in 80 and 81.
Yeah.
But, you know, she had an iconic appearance, of course, in the Blues Brothers as well.
Mm-hmm.
But so kept that conversation
singing
real.
Respect.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. Other historical moments of the week. 1565, the oldest city in the U.S. was established. Where's that, Dave?
Santa Fe. And we'll be there tomorrow.
That's right. You're heading out that way. Yeah,
we'll
absolutely.
Be there tomorrow. That's the only city, as far as I know, in the U.S., anywhere in the U.S., that has served under three governments. Spain, Mexico, and the U.S.
Yeah, look at that.
Yeah.
And you're going out there for how long, a week?
We'll be there. Well, we'll be out west for a week, west-southwest. We'll start in Santa Fe, and then we head up to Rocky Mountain National Park. Haven't been there for many years.
Okay.
And so that will be our week. So, next week at this time, Don Kleppen will be in for me.
Nice.
So
okay, Don Kleppen.
We'll pick up where we left off in 2 weeks.
Lovely. Fantastic. I do not have my history bumps. If you could throw me, that would be great. 1837, pharmacist John Lee and William Perrins manufactured Worcestershire sauce. And look at it, I said it on the almost. I almost did it well on the first Worcestershire.
Worcestershire.
It was the only commercially bottled condiment in the U.S. in 1837. So ketchup wasn't around then.
No, mustard, ketchup.
But all over like 170 years later, they remain, of course, a favorite across the U.S. 1853, the first potato chip was introduced. Popular versions say this happened on August 24th, 1853, attributed to the dish of George Crumb, a cook at Moon's Lake House, who kept trying to appease an unhappy customer. The customer kept sending his fried potatoes back, complaining they were too thick. Yeah. Frustrated, he sliced the potatoes razor thin, fried them until they were hard and crisp, and seasoned them with extra salt. And to his surprise, the customer loved them. They soon became Saratoga chips, a name that persisted at least into the mid-20th century.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, locally,
my dad told me his mother made potato chips.
Is that right?
Ooh. Fried them in a pan, you know, that was grease and salt and oil, but his mother made potato chips.
Grant DePorter does a great potato chip at Harry Carey's that they throw on the table in the bar and so forth and at lunch hour, and so does Gibson's, actually. They do a nice job, too. But locally here, Jay's Potato Chips, established in Chicago in 1927, I think they were here till about 2007. They were made by Snyder's of Hanover, known for their pretzels, but they were established here. They were a huge company. I remember taking like a fourth or fifth grade field trip to the Jay's
tour
potato,
to the factory down at around 95th Street there.
Yeah, and getting a fresh potato chip off the line, you know, in little bowls. They gave us all potato chips. I remember I was all the kids, you know, eating. It was fantastic. Here is a classic Jay's. Is it a Jay's Jay's potato chip commercial?
Can I have some of your Jay's potato chips? Well, okay, but just one. Two well made. The first half to run around the block. Okay. And dress up Spike and your sister.
I'm just waiting for the tagline. It's not best quality, but
teach him how to walk on two legs and play the trumpet. So
oh, yeah, that's what we grew up with, right? Listen to
Can't
that commercial.
Stop them.
Yeah.
Yep.
Classic.
I remember now that we played that spot, the white bag with the dark blue printing.
Oh, yeah, of course.
And the top of the bag. At the top of the bag.
That's right.
Can't stop eating them.
Can't stop eating them. Let's see here. Thomas Edison patented the motion picture camera back in 1891. 1918, the Chicago Cubs win the earliest pennant ever. Season ended on September 2nd, so it's coming up in about a week or so. The Cubs clinched the National League pennant with a 1-0 win. We don't hear that song on the station enough anymore. look, I'm a Cubs fan. I love the Sox. I'm glad they're on the station, but I'm a Cubs fan. The Cubs clinched the National League pennant with a 1-0 win over the Cincinnati Reds in a season that was shortened due to war restrictions, so World War I. The Cubs would go on to lose to Babe Ruth and the Boston Red Sox in the World Series, though, 4-2. So it was 1918.
First, now, you know, that's interesting that we think about the 1908 series and those, you know, then, and of course 2016, but the 1918, they were in it.
Yep.
They were
in it to win it, but didn't happen.
Yeah, and then 1945.
That's right.
And then that was it.
That was it. 1955, the Guinness Book of World Records was first published. 1963, coming up, Martin Luther King delivers his I Have a Dream speech addressing civil rights at the Lincoln Memorial.
It'll be in a week or so.
It'll be in about a week or so. Let's take a listen.
Anniversary.
So even though we face the difficulties of today and tomorrow, I still have a dream. It is a dream deeply rooted in the American dream. I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal.
And there you have it. Within that decade, on a much lighter note, Walt Disney's Mary Poppins was released. And I have to say, that was probably the one movie as a kid that I absolutely loved watching.
Yeah.
The music, everything, right? And I think I was a big Dick Van Dyke fan,
too. That was part of it.
That was part of it.
You know, he was on a roll with the show
and
was in it. And we went to see it at now one of the downtown theaters here. I don't remember which, but
that's wild.
My parents brought me in on a Sunday afternoon, and we saw the movie there.
I never saw it on the big screen. You know, it was like one of those appointment viewing things when, like, CBS would have it airing on a weekend or whatever.
Right, right, yeah.
But, you know, I know there's some little boutique theaters and sometimes, like, the Pickwick and stuff like that that's still running. I got to go see that there. I'm sure that's a lot of fun.
No, I saw it on the big screen when it came out.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
He traveled all around the world, and everywhere he went,
he'd use his word and all would say, there goes a clever gent.
When Dukes and Martha Rogers pass a time of day with me, I say me special word and we'll be off, to tea.
When I had interviewed Dick Van Dyke, he had said that Cockney accent was the worst accent on the planet. Like when he goes back and listens to it, he said he's so humiliated. And when he talks to people from Great Britain about the accent, they always give him crap about it. Like, whew, that was bad, brother. That was bad. Actually, next week we're going to do, we're going to have Carl Reiner on again. And this is probably my most frequent guest, one of my most frequent guests. But he just got nominated for an Emmy at 96 years old.
Jeez.
And he's still writing books. And he's still performing.
He did a wonderful special for HBO. Aging
last year.
Terrific.
Yeah, it was about if you're not in the obituary.
It was inspiring.
Fabulously done. Every night for dinner, almost every night, and I know they go out too because we had Norman Lear on a couple of weeks ago, and to celebrate Norman's birthday, Norman, Carl, Mel Brooks, and I can't remember who the other person was now. It's in a picture. Dick Van Dyke. All of them went out to for dinner to celebrate Norman Lear's birthday because they're all in their mid-90s. But when they're not going out, Mel comes over to Carl's house and they pull out the TV trays and they have dinner together.
Isn't that
watching
something?
TV. Yeah,
Mel Brooks and Carl Reiner recreating the 2,000-year-old routine.
Yeah, but you know, I mean, they both lost their wives sometime in the last 3 to 5 years. And so now they're each other's companion.
And Bancroft's been gone a little longer.
She has, probably.
But,
right. Yeah. Huh. So Carl's going to be on next week, but we're also going to go back and do kind of a flashback, some of my favorite conversations of 60s television. So we're going to do a little Dick Van Dyke.
Great.
We'll do Barbara Eden. We'll do Bill Mooney. I can't remember who else was on there, but we're going to...
Better be Andy Griffith.
We're going to share some
I'm
of those.
Well,
I don't... I never interviewed Andy Griffith. He was gone before I started doing this.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
My interviews. My interviews. Yeah, absolutely. 1965, the Beatles spent an evening with Elvis Presley. It was in August 1965 when the Beatles spent 4 hours at Elvis's Bel Air home in California. What really happened that night? Who is this that we've got on tape doing this?
It's a combination of a few interviews, and then I think there's some music mixed.
But which Beatle is doing this?
Oh,
is it George Harrison?
I believe it's George Harrison.
Let's take a little listen.
Oh, we had a couple of cups of tea in the back of the car, and by the time we got to Elvis's house, we forgot where we were going. It didn't really matter where we were going.
Bel Air, actually. And this meet was arranged. We were going to go and see him. I was pretty excited about it all, and we arrived.
We pulled up and there's these big gates and somebody said, "Oh yeah, we're going to see Elvis." And then we all fell out, just like in a Beatle cartoon. We all fell out the car, all in hysterics, trying to pretend we were...
It's like in a Beatles cartoon, he says.
You remember the Beatles Elvis cartoons, Dave?
Oh yeah, in the 1960s?
Late 60s,
I remember watching them on like Channel 44 in the 70s.
Okay,
but well,
they were on Saturday mornings in the late 60s, 68, 69.
Wow. But could you imagine that... I know sometime years later, and I've heard Paul McCartney talk about this before, he's bought some Elvis memorabilia, like a couple of his guitars, I think, over time. But how cool would that night be? Because we've talked about this before, where like the Beatles met the Stones, and when Elvis met...
Right.
It's cool to hear, and when Elvis met Sinatra back some years ago. Sinatra hated Elvis because it was changing world of music for him.
Yeah, but did Steve Allen.
But he had him on the show anyway because he knew it would be great for ratings. Mm-hmm. So listen to that.
It was.
All right, Walter's Perspective coming up next on 720 WGN.